So we'll just have it right there in our minds. It says here in Luke 10:38, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her.'" Now the story of Martha and Mary, I think, is one of those stories that we all can kind of relate to, especially if you've ever been involved in any kind of service, any kind of ministry, whether it's through the church or whether it's through something else. But it's something that we all can relate to. We all kind of know a Martha, don't we? And we all know a Mary, and there may be some Marthas and Marys in this very room, or there may be some of us that have a combination of both a Martha and a Mary in us. Now, I want to say this right off, as we go through this lesson, and I know that in some of the commentaries and with some of the preachers, it sounds like they're a bit critical of Martha. And I don't want to come across sounding critical of Martha. I think Martha is a good, good woman. I think she's a good, good woman. And without question, Jesus loved Martha. Jesus loved Mary. And who was Martha and Mary's brother? Lazarus. So Jesus loved this family. And do you know why I know that Jesus loved this family? Well, yeah, but the Bible tells me to. It says here in John chapter 11, verse 5, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." All right, so we know that Jesus loved this little family. Therefore, that tells me there was love in the home for Jesus, right? Jesus loved this family. There was love in this home for Jesus. Now, I don't know. Somebody smarter than I might know this, but I'm thinking that possibly they loved Jesus because he had sometime shown love to them first, right? That's what 1 John says. We love him. Why? Because he first loved us, right? So this was a home that Jesus would often go to whenever he was in the neighborhood. This was a home that was the kind of home that I think Jesus enjoyed being in. This was a home that Jesus was not treated as a stranger. This was a home that he felt safe in. And what I mean by that is that he knew that this was a home that those inside the house weren't there to try to entrap him with some clever questions or find some indiscretion. Because often, whenever he was invited to lunch or dinner by the Pharisees, what generally happened? Yeah, they were trying to trip him up or try to see some. So this was a place of love, a place of welcome, a place of, yeah, I'll use the term safety for Jesus to come to this home. This was a place that he felt welcomed. Now, let me say this little application, I guess. And I think some of us at one time or another, you might relate to this. I don't know. I know that in the past, you know, let me put it this way. Some people treat their heart like a motel when it comes to Jesus. Okay? He's welcome on Sunday, but he's got to check out by Monday. Right? Yeah, he's welcomed into my heart on Sunday, but come Monday, he's got to check out. He's got to pack his bags, and he's got to move out. Now, I know, we're Christians, we're permanently sealed with the Holy Spirit of God, but you guys know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about attitude of heart here, right? Attitude of heart. So there are some folks, they treat their hearts kind of like a motel. He's welcome on Sunday, but he's got to check out. And then there's some people's hearts that maybe Jesus doesn't feel welcome, or maybe Jesus doesn't feel comfortable. Now, what kind of heart do you think it would take for Jesus to feel uncomfortable in? How about a carnal heart? How about a heart that's not willing to deal with sin that's going on? How about a heart that's got a lot of issues, unwilling to deal with them? Have you ever been into a home or gone to a place where you just feel the tension? You just feel the tension? Some of us have hearts that are just full of tension. Full of tension. Now, I know that's an inspirational application, all right? That's an inspirational application. So please don't make it any more than that. But you know what? Our hearts, wouldn't you like to have a heart like Martha and Mary and Lazarus' home? Where Jesus, when Jesus is in the neighborhood, he loves to stay. Right? He loves to hang out in your heart. He loves to hang out in your heart. Again, I know the Spirit abides. You know, the Ephesians 4:30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. You know, the word grieve is a relational word. Because you only grieve those that you love. You only grieve those that you love. So is your heart the kind of heart that it grieves the Holy Spirit? Grieves the Holy Spirit? Now, personally, I believe Jesus came to this home just to find some peace and some rest from his travels. They walked everywhere, right? So he came to this home for rest. Came to this home from rest, not only from travels, but whenever you read about Jesus' life, he's always surrounded by what? A crowd. So he's always ministering, always teaching. And then in that crowd, they're not always friendly, are they? You know, there's some folks that are, they're nasty. They're mean-spirited. So I think Jesus came to this home to find rest, to find peace, and to find shelter. And we know from the Bible that Jesus would often do this. He would retire from the busyness and he'd spend some time alone with his Father in prayer. We also know that at times he even took his disciples aside to a quiet place so they could, you know, be refreshed from the busyness and everything else that goes along with that. So Jesus would do this. And so Jesus, I believe Jesus and his men came to Mary and Martha's house for some, what is that we used to say, R&R. Rest and relaxation. Rest and relaxation. But something occurred that disrupted the peace of this home, and it all hinged on choices. It all hinged on a choice. Mary chose to sit at Jesus' feet, to be with him, to listen to him, to hear his word. Martha chose to be a hostess. She wanted to be a hostess. She wanted to make sure her guests had everything that they needed to make their visit comfortable. Neither of these choices are wrong. Okay? Neither of these choices are wrong. It's just a choice that each of these folks made. But unfortunately, one of the choices was allowed to turn into a point of contention. Allowed to turn into a point of contention. Now, like I said, I believe Martha was a good woman. Martha was a take charge kind of gal. She sees a task to be done. She steps up. She steps in. She steps through. She makes sure it gets done. Praise God for the Marthas. Praise God for the Marthas. And Martha was a great hostess. When folks came to her home, she made an intentional effort to make sure that they were They felt welcomed and they felt comfortable. And we had a good friend of ours who was that way. We would go to their home for a visit, and she just went out of her way to make you feel welcome and comfortable, and see to anything that you needed. She was a wonderful hostess. And that's what Martha was. Hospitality was this gal's strength. Hospitality was this gal's strength. So you could say that Martha showed her love for Jesus by her service. Martha showed her love for Jesus by her service. And praise God for that. Praise God for that. Now, I've also read and heard some folks say that, well, Mary was just lazy. Do you believe Mary was lazy? I don't think Mary was lazy. No, I don't think Mary was lazy. Mary was just the kind of gal that she saw the opportunity to be near her Lord, and she was going to take advantage of that opportunity. And I don't blame her a bit. I don't blame her a bit. There are folks that when they show up, I want to be near them. I don't necessarily have to talk to them. I just want to be near them and hear what they have to say. I just want to be near them. And that's Mary. She wanted to be near Jesus. And so she took advantage of that situation and she sat at Jesus' feet. Quite frankly, we all need to do that, don't we? We all need to sit at Jesus' feet. So like I said, there's neither a right or a wrong in either one of these temperaments. There's neither a right or a wrong. God loves and appreciates the Marthas as much as He appreciates the Marys. So that's not even the issue. That's not even the issue. What happened was that Martha's service was a cause of exasperation to her that spilled over onto others. That's what happened. Jesus sought for peace and quiet among friends He loved. He was just looking for the simple hospitality of friends who loved Him. And Martha's overzealous desire to be hospitable disrupted that tranquility. Disrupted that tranquility. I don't know about you guys, but when the Marthas of a church get upset, the whole church gets upset. The whole church gets upset. And bless the Marthas. Bless the Marthas. So not taking anything away from Martha's good intentions, nor do I want to put a poor reflection on this noble woman's character, but I think there's some things here that we can learn from Martha. I don't know what, warning signs or red flags. When you begin to allow your flesh to control you in your service for God. Okay? Because even the best of God's servants can resort to the worst part of their fallen natures in certain situations. The first thing I want to talk about is it says here that she became cumbered about much serving. Cumbered about much serving. Now here's the first symptom of the flesh gaining control. I think we all can relate to this. Has anybody in here been frustrated? No? Has anybody in here been stressed out? Frustration and stress. Frustration and stress. Frustration, that's taking on a task that's beyond one's natural abilities and resources to meet generally brings on this emotional and mental state of frustration. You're simply taking on too much. You get frustrated. When's the last time you heard the word cumbered? I know. It's been a while, hasn't it? Well, the last time I read my Bible. Yeah, cumbered. What's the word cumbered? It's an interesting word. It means to be hindered. To be, here's a word you don't hear every day, hampered. To be overly occupied. overly occupied. I remember when I worked for Wayne Willie Trash Disposal. That was the day when we took everything. I mean everything. And one day we came upon this house who was getting rid of their above ground pool. My word. We wrestled with that above ground pool to get it into that truck, I bet for half an hour. Half an hour. Fighting the membrane, fighting everything that went with this thing to get this thing into this truck. Well, that's being cumbered. That's being cumbered. Yes, sir?
Bags of grass.
Bags of grass, yes. Yeah, supersized bags of grass. Trying to pick those things up, and it's like trying to wrestle a bladder full of water or something. It just goes everywhere. Yeah, exactly. It's just cumbersome.
And they blow up and the thing comes down and sprays.
Yes. Oh, those were the days. Those were the days. Yes. But that's what cumbered means. You're just trying to tackle this ungainly thing, and it just gets to the point where you become so frustrated. And so here we have Martha. She's becoming so frustrated. And what happens when you get frustrated? You get distracted, and you focus more on the obstacles than you do on the prize. Physically, we get fatigued. We expend energy that with no tangible results. Emotionally, we get angry. We get depressed. We get frustrated. Spiritually, we turn carnal. We turn fleshly. So we begin to operate out of the influences of the fallen nature more so than we do the spirit, the new man. It happens to all of us. It happens to the best of us. The Greek word for cumbered, translated cumbered, is a compound word. It means on account of, to draw out. And that word draw out means to draw out a sword. So on account of something, you pull out your sword. Now when you pull out your sword, what is a sword? What was it designed for? Yeah, so you're itching for a fight. That's what it means. You get so frustrated that you're itching for a fight. Just say one thing to me. Just say one thing to me. Martha was like a rope. It was stretched to its breaking point. Now, what could Martha have done? Well, she could have admitted to her inability to handle the task, and she could have politely asked for help. That's what she could have done. You know, some people will not ask for help. You ever run across anybody like that? Because of pride or whatever, they simply will not ask for help. They need the help. They sure could use the help, but they're not going to ask for the help. Some folks think it's a sign of weakness to ask for help. Some folks take it as a point of pride. Oh, I can handle this, when apparently you can't. Some folks are embarrassed to ask for help. Instead, they'd rather get all stressed out because they believe that it's up to them alone to tackle what they have created for themselves. Martha could have taken a break, right? She could have set that tray down. She could have walked over. She could have sat right next to her sister. She could have spent a few minutes there with Jesus, listening to his calm words, soaked up his presence. And once she's regained her composure, her calm, she could have gotten back up and gone back to serving. She could have done that. She could have taken a break. There's no sin in taking a break. She could have taken a break. Either of these options would have been better than what she did. Right? Second thing. What does she do? Lord, dost thou not care? Lord, dost thou not care? You see, people allow their frustrations to reach this critical point of stress, and then they release this stress by lashing out at others. Unfortunately, it's always the innocents, right? Now, I don't know if you've ever been there, but I have to confess, there's been times I've snapped people's heads off and they're standing there wondering, well, what in the world was that all about? It's because of my own stress level, my own frustration. Proverbs 12:18 says, there is that that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. Remember what I said about cumbered? On account of you draw your sword. Martha was drawing her sword out. She drew her sword and she struck out with words of resentment and criticism. Resentment. Resentment is often manifested by anger directed at others who are not doing what you believe they should be doing. Right? That's resentment. She was angry. Martha was angry that Jesus was allowing Mary to remain idle while she labored. Now, was that an accurate assessment? No. But that's what happens when you get to that level of stress and frustration. You don't see things clearly. You don't see things as they really are. You create this scenario in your head. That's not true. She became angry. She became resentful. Is that a word? She resented Mary. And she became all worked up over a situation that she thought was an unjust situation, which she herself had created. Boy, I've done that a couple of times. This inner attitude of resentment gave vent to critical words. Martha's annoyance with her own self-created situation resulted her in being critical of two people in that room. And who were those two people? Jesus and Mary. Jesus and Mary. Now that says a lot about... Well, I'm not even going to go there. But Jesus and Mary. Jesus and Mary. That's something to really meditate on. Now, I want to take a time out here. I think it's good to kind of look at the situation. And let's see if Martha was justified in her outburst. That says here in Luke 10:38... that Martha received him into her house. Okay? The word receive, that's another one of those compound words in the Greek. The word receive means to allow one or invite one into your home. You're welcome. Come into my house. Come into my house. You're welcome. The other part of that word is that when you welcome someone into your house, then you take upon the obligation to be hospitable to them. Okay? So not only do you invite them into your house, but you also do all those necessary things that you do toward a guest in your home, all those hospitality things. So when Martha received Jesus into the house, she was willing to take upon herself all that was required to be hospitable to Jesus. You follow where I'm going here? This is something that she chose to do, and it was a good choice. It was the right choice to do. It was the right choice to do. 1 Peter 4:9 says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. Whoops. She may have began showing hospitality without grudging, but did it end up there? No. No. Now, did Jesus ask Martha to immediately begin serving he and his men? I don't read that. Martha wanted to be a good hostess. Perfect. When Mary went and sat at Jesus' feet, did not Martha see that? Did she say anything about it at the time? No. So you can assume that she was okay with that. She was okay with her sister going and sitting with Jesus while she took care of the things. Martha focused on bringing refreshments to her guests. Mary focused on being refreshed by the presence of the Lord. They each made their choice. Mary's choice was conducive to the atmosphere that Jesus came to enjoy. She was at rest, sitting next to Jesus' feet. She was at peace. That's why Jesus came to the house. Martha's choice, a place of service, she sought to meet the needs of the Lord. Perfect. There's nothing wrong with that. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. That's also conducive to, I don't even know if that's the right word to use, that's also in line with the atmosphere of the home. Rest and relaxation. Okay, I'm not going to worry about anything. Martha's going to take care of everything. Mary's sitting right. Perfect. Everything is perfect. The only problem is this. Martha allowed her choice to be a cause for her to become encumbered. She did the right thing. She just allowed herself to become frustrated to the point where she disrupted the peace. Have you ever been there? Serving. I mean, we've got Bible conference coming up. You serve, you work, you labor, you serve, you work, you labor, and then with one eye you look over and you see a whole table full of people doing nothing but what? Yakking. No work's being done. Why aren't those people rolling these signatures? I don't know, maybe I'm the only one. Martha became overly preoccupied with so much in taking care of her guests that she became distracted and she missed out on the fellowship. You know, you can have fellowship during service. You can have fellowship in ministry. It's all an attitude of heart. And this is something else that I've also noticed. Some of God's people that believe that being busy for the Lord is more important than fellowshipping with the Lord. Some people honestly believe that being busy for the Lord is more important than fellowshipping with the Lord. They labor, but they never sit under the teaching of God's Word. I've seen that too. People who get themselves so busy that they never sit in the service, they never go to a Bible study, they never go to an ABF, they never sit under the teaching of God's Word because they would rather be busy. That's not a good thing to do. That's not healthy. You see, the risk that they face is that they'll find themselves neglecting Christ even in the midst of serving Him. And that is possible. And when they begin to get themselves in that place and they don't sit under the teaching of God's Word, then what happens is they become critical and they become resentful of those, the very people they seek to serve. Walt Cundiff once said to me, he says, "Don't get so busy trying to do so much that you forget that each of us needs to feel loved by those we serve with." Those are good words, because that's exactly what happens. We get so busy that we forget to love. Jesus never rebuked Martha for her service. He didn't. He never rebuked Martha for her service. But he did gently and lovingly rebuke her for allowing her preoccupation of service deprive her of the love and the joy and the fellowship that she could have had in her service. And that happens. That happens. People allow their service to rob them of their joy. And that's not what it's intended to do. That's when the flesh starts taking over. When the flesh begins to reign in your service, then your perception about service becomes askewed. And guess what happens? It's more about me than him. Look what she says here. Verse 40. Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? That's not accurate, Martha. That's not accurate. That's kind of self-righteous. That's kind of self-righteous. A self-righteous person has the perception of being the only one who's right, or the only one who's doing right. While everybody else is doing wrong. Surely the Lord could see that I'm struggling here. Why doesn't he tell Mary to come help me? And why doesn't Mary take the initiative to come help me? Now, first of all, did Mary leave Martha? As if Mary got up, began to serve with Martha, and then decided to go sit at... No. No. So that's not a very accurate thing she said here. Mary went to sit at Jesus' feet in the very beginning. You see, when you become worked up like this, I'm going to use a fancy term, you get a spiritual myopia or a short-sightedness. There are people that are like this. They believe that whatever they are doing is the most important thing in the world, and everybody else should get on board. And if you're not doing what I'm doing, then you're really doing nothing for Jesus. There's people who actually think that way. That whatever service that they're involved in, it is somehow preeminent. And for the life of me, I can't understand why the leadership can't see that. And I can't understand why the congregation isn't joining me in this. That's that self-righteous spiritual myopia. Is that true, though? No, it's a misperception. It's a misperception. I don't know. Instead of asking Jesus what he wanted, Martha did what she wanted. Lord, you sit there while I do this and that and the other. Until I get so stressed out doing what I want to do for you that I will complain to you about it later. And as an added bonus, I'll find fault with you and my sister for what I want to do for you in the first place. Now, how's that sound? That's what it turned into. That's what it turned into. Well-meaning Martha permitted her frustration about service to disrupt her fellowship with the Lord, with her sister, and with everybody else in that house. Good woman. A good woman. But even the best of us, sometimes, we get kind of turned around. And I don't know if you guys have ever seen this, but Martha got so worked up in her stress that she went to Jesus and told Jesus how to fix the problem. I don't know if you've ever been a ministry leader, but there's always somebody that's there ready to tell you how to fix the problem or run the show. Now, I'm not saying you don't go up and offer advice. I'm talking about somebody who's just there to tell you how to run things. Usually you don't have all the facts. And sometimes they're not even involved in the ministry. But anyway. And then the fourth thing. She says here, left me to serve alone. Left me to serve alone. Who's she focus on? Herself. Herself. That's a sure sign of the flesh having influence when we become self-centered. When we become self-centered. We get self-righteous. We become self-centered. And that usually creates an isolationist mentality. I'm all alone. Nobody cares. I'm going to go into the garden and eat worms. There's a little child's nursery or something or other. Some of you guys are looking at me like, what? See, self-centered people can only see the faults of others, and yet they're blind to their own shortcomings. Preoccupation with self and constant fault-finding in others, that's how you win friends and influence enemies, isn't it? No, that's the quickest way to isolate yourself. I mean, if you're a constant nag, if you're a constant complainer, do you like hanging out with people like that? That might be why I don't have very many friends. I don't know. But no, nobody likes to hang out with somebody like that. So you create your own isolation. And like I said, it wasn't Mary who left her sister. Mary had chosen to sit at Jesus' feet in the beginning. Mary didn't leave Martha to do anything. Again, it's that perception. It's that perception. It was a creation out of Martha's own frustration and stress. You know, sometimes we do that, don't we? We'll throw out an accusation, but we really have no facts to base it on. It's only our own stress, our own frustration. That's drawing out that sword. It says here, and Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha. Remember the Brady Bunch? Marcia, Marcia, Marcia. No, that's not the way Jesus addressed Martha. I'm finding it interesting that Jesus called Martha twice, used her name twice. I can almost picture this wonderful woman standing there, hands on hips, face red, huffing and puffing. Don't you care? Look at you. You know, she may not have been that mean, but just stressed to the max. And the Lord kindly addresses her in that calm voice, Martha, Martha. The first time I think he uses her name is to try to clear her troubled mind of what's going on inside. Right? And then the second time is to draw her attention to him. Right? Have you ever been so frustrated so that you're so distracted you go to somebody and you and off you're going? And what is it they say? Now calm down. calm down. Right? Collect your composure. Clear your mind. Clear your mind. The distractions of service may hinder our hearing and being attentive to the Word of God. And that's what Martha needed. She needed to be attentive. She needed to calm down. She needed to clear her head. She needed to be attentive. You know, we may become so busy in serving others to provide them with nourishment that we forget that we also need nourishment. And sometimes, for some of us, when God calls us, He may almost have to shout at us. Bring something along in our life to make us stop and listen. Martha, Martha. And again, it's not our service that He's addressing. Martha was doing a good work. And it wasn't the work that Martha was doing, but it was her what? Her state of mind, her heart. Mitch, did you have something to say? Okay, I thought you had your hand up. Now, I know all of you guys can relate to this, and probably you guys could probably preach a better lesson on this. But this is something that we all can if you've ever been involved in any kind of service or ministry, you guys can relate to what's going on here. Sometimes I identify myself with Martha more than I do Mary. I really do. Sometimes the Marthas find themselves becoming resentful of the Marys. Sometimes. And the Lord was very wise in ministering to Martha. I mean, she was valiantly trying to meet their need. It was just too much for her. Simply too much for her. You see, you never push a loyal person to the point where they no longer care. Instead, what you do is you try to restore in them the reason why they do care. And that's what Jesus was doing with Martha. Romans 12:10 says, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another." Now, I heard a pastor a long time ago preach on this passage, and Ron, you might remember this. When he said this, I thought it was very odd what he said. But he said, Martha's need was humility and not humiliation. The Lord gently rebuked Martha for her critical state of mind, but He never attacked Martha's person. That's what I mean about loyal people. You've got loyal people who really, really care. It's just that sometimes they lose sight of why they care. And so you try to restore them back to that why they care. Those who have a strong emphasis on service, you got to be careful about being prideful about that service. You got to be careful about being critical of others that may not serve as much as you do. Because when this pride about service begins to take root in your mind, then the focus of your service turns from the Lord, right? And begins to focus on yourself and begins to focus critically on others. So be careful. And I'm only saying that because I've been there, done that. And then something else. Those with the temperament of a Martha, they tend to accept too many jobs at one time. It's almost like, no, I'm sorry, I can't help you is not in their vocabulary. And so what happens is the Marthas place too many irons in the fire, and then they blame others when they burn their fingers. And then the Marthas also have a tendency to physically wear themselves out. And they become bitter. And they begin judging others as lazy. And then you know what the next step is? Burnout. Burnout. They quit. Another risk of the Marthas is the risk of becoming hurt by those that they perceive to be ungrateful for what they're doing. I mean, you serve and you serve and you serve and you serve and you serve, and you never hear a word of thank you or I appreciate you. She needed humility and not humiliation. You know, I think when that happens, we forget. I'm going to throw a softball at you guys. What is your motive for ministry? What is your reason for service? What should it be? Very simple. Love and appreciation for the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Really, that's what it is. It's not difficult. It's not difficult. And that's what happened with Martha. She loved the Lord. She showed her love through service, but she allowed herself to get all worked up, and she was robbed of that serenity in her service. She was robbed. She robbed herself of that fellowship. And there is fellowship in ministry. But she robbed herself of that. A good woman. She just got a little sidetracked. And it happens to the best of us. Happens to the best of us. Luke 10:41, and Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. You know, we have Bible conference coming up, and that's a big push for our church, and there's a lot of planning that goes on behind the scenes, and some of you have been involved in that. There's equipment set up, there's, you know, electrical things that need to be taken up, there's the signatures that need to be, there's a lot of work in Bible conference behind the scenes. And then when we do come to Bible conference, there's a lot of work in collating, there's a lot of work in rolling out the signatures. You guys know what I'm talking about. So all I'm doing is describing something to you guys that I know you've got a mental picture of because you've been involved in it, right? So some of you folks even take vacations so you can be here all that week to help put these Bibles together. And praise God for you guys. Praise God for you guys that sit there. I mean, Ron. It scares the snot out of me, but Ron's on the trimmer. He's running the trimmer. And that trimmer is intimidating to me, but he runs it. And praise God. But listen to me, guys. There's a reason why during the night we take a break and we come in here and we hear from somebody who teaches the Word of God to us. There's a reason for that. Because we need to come in here and get our souls, our spirits refreshed for the labor that we're involved in. Don't neglect that. And I know some of you do. But don't neglect that. When they say it's time to meet in the sanctuary, do yourself a favor, do everybody else a favor, and come in here. And get your spirit refreshed from what somebody has to say from God's Word. Be renewed. Be renewed. We should never allow anything to interfere with our fellowship with the Lord, even our service. Service should never be allowed to become a substitute for our relationship with Jesus. And unfortunately, for some of us, that's what has happened. And we should never neglect service either. Because some of the sweetest times of fellowship is during those times we are co-laboring with Christ. So there is a much needed balance. I had a wise pastor tell me one time, he said, Jeff, the key to the Christian life is seeking balance. Seeking balance. And you guys know what I'm talking about, because sometimes the Christian life can be you tilt this way and then you tilt that way. This gets out of balance, that gets out of balance. You find that balance. You find that balance. We need both the Marthas and the Marys with a right heart attitude. With a right heart attitude. Amen? Okay, Mitchell, can I call on you to close us out in prayer?